My dear friends, thank you for your attention. Could you turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 16? And we're turning to the verse 23 of Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, beginning to read at the verse 23. In fact, we'll start her from 22. Okay. And when the multitude rose up together against them, that was against Paul and Silas, by the way. And when the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging that the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Hallelujah, they prayed. And sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." He wasn't talking about his building, by the way, there. He was talking about those that dwelt within the building. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, "Let those men go." Amen. And that's exactly what happened. May God bless this reading of his precious word to all our hearts. And now there's a wee verse or two more I want to slip over here and read to you. And we're going to read over here in Genesis. And it's Genesis 31 and verse 13. And it says there, "I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred." And then I'm going over here to another wee verse. And it's a couple, actually, in Psalm 103. And we're reading from verse 21. "Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his." Do you notice that? Says, "Ye ministers of his." Now, we've got a minister behind me here. And you know, if you're saved, you're a minister as well. You may not be ordained as far as our brother's concerned, in that sense. This is our brother's responsibility. But you know, you've got God's ordination upon you. And so, praise the Lord for, "Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure." So every time you sow the word of God, you're doing God's pleasure. Not wonderful. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. Dear friends, let us bow, if we will, for a moment of prayer as I seek for God's help. Our Father and our God, we thank You, Lord, for the great praise that's deep within my soul, Lord, that I've got a testimony to give to Thy saving and Thy keeping power, Lord. Thank You, Father, for that wonderful day in my life, Lord. That night, Lord, on the 23rd of February 1970, Lord, when Thou just, Lord, convict me of my sin, Lord. And Lord, Thou just savingly, Lord, open up my blinded eyes, Lord. And I thank You, Father, for coming into my life, for changing my life, Lord. I thank You, Father, for Thy so great salvation, Lord. And Father, it is so real, Lord. Here I am, Lord, 52 years plus later, Lord, and I'm still, Lord, living to be able to, Lord, give a word of testimony. And I thank You, Lord, we couldn't give it, Lord, for any better person than Thee. Thank You for Thy miraculous work in my life, Lord, for saving me and keeping me, Lord. And I pray, Father, if there's any unsaved or gathering, Lord, that's not yet saved, I pray, Lord, You'll give them the wisdom and the ability and the courage, Lord, to call upon the name of the Lord. For, Father, we thank Thee for Thy wonderful words which clearly states, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank You, Lord, it's very positive. There's nothing negative about that, Lord. For, Lord, we've experienced Thy great power and Thy great mercy upon us, Lord. So, Father, bless every head bowed before Thee. And, Lord, we pray if there should be any that's backslidden in heart, we pray, Lord, You'll give them that clear understanding, Lord, that Thou art, Father, married to the backslider. There's no separation with God. And, Lord, we pray that You'll help those, Lord, to repent and return to Thee. So, Father, help me now, Lord, as I seek to give a word of testimony. Thank You, Lord, for the wee bits of notes that have in front of me to keep me right, Lord. And I pray, Father, You would continue to keep me right, even by Thy power of God, the Holy Spirit. I ask it, Father, in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Well, dear friends, I was born, and you might say, well, sure, it doesn't matter when you were born. Well, I was born in 1943, a brave while ago. And I was born into a family where there were six boys and one girl. The first baby, my eldest brother, passed away as a little baby just shortly after birth. But anyway, my dad, he died in 1945, on Halloween night 1945. And thank God there was a Baptist pastor who led my dad to the Lord before he passed away. And though only about 2.5 or so, when I was a wee tot, I don't remember him. But the great thing about it is I'll see him again, for he's in heaven. And as well as that, while my dear mother, who was only 36 years of age, she had to rear five boys and one girl thereafter. And I thank God that she came to know the Lord a few years back when she reached almost the age of 98. And I remember the minister who led my mother to the Lord, he says, Sam, he says, your mother was very hard. But you see, friends, she wasn't too hard for the Lord. For the Lord saved her. And she's in heaven along with my dad. And thank God she's in heaven with my late wife, Betty. Oh, my friends, what a great future we have. And I remember saying when I was in the dentist, I think I told Margaret this. When I was in the dentist, I was lying back in the chair, and of course, only one twist here, you see. And he's going to put in some temporary ones. But what's the order anyway? But anyway, I lay back in the big chair. And as I lay back in the big chair, I just shouted out, But he never did. Neither did she. The shell was set aside, but she, her soul, Betty's alive in heaven with my dad and my mum and my eldest brother Dick, who got saved sitting on top of a couple of concrete blocks out in the shed. And a week later, he was buried under a load of silage. And they're in heaven. And your loved ones who are saved have gone home to be with the Lord in heaven. And they're more alive than you or I. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, praise the Lord, what a great future. Anyway, I've got to be careful because I am the sort of fellow I could sidetrack very quick. So that's why I have the notes in front to keep them in order, you know. But, you know, friends, my mother was very faithful in this, that she sent us along to Sunday school very regularly. And we were the sort of family, like a whole lot of folk here when we were younger, the spuds had to be washed outside. And the shoes had to be polished out on the step and up to the loft. And everything had to be done that way. But my dear mother wasn't saved at that time. But thank God she had the wisdom to send us to the house of God. And so I praise the Lord for that. And the good thing about it was that I was taught the scriptures. I'm looking back at her brother because I know he would amen to this. And so would you too, I trust. I was taught the scriptures from the old-fashioned King James scriptures that I have here tonight. And I'm not a very clever fella. But I'll tell you one thing. When I read the Word of God, do you know what happens? The great teacher himself teaches me. And I thank God I was blessed with having a very faithful and loyal wife. For she loved the scriptures of truth. And I was so busy singing all over the country for years and I had hardly time to be in the house, and that wasn't a good thing either in a sense. Although you can't do anything about the past is gone. But however, we did our best. But Betty was a great reader of the Word of God, and I come under conviction, and I need to read the Word more. And you know, it was one of the best things ever happened. Now, here's a good word here. I was saying this to some of our friends that are here tonight. I read the scriptures from cover to cover 5 times. Now, for a fellow that's not a reader, that was a brave job. But I wanted to read the scriptures. I had a hunger to read the scriptures. I wanted to know more about God. And I've just completed reading the scriptures the 6th time. And I thank God that I love the Word of God more and more all the time. But wait, you hear this, and here's a good one for you. I was talking to the Reverend John Douglas. He and I have been good friends. I have been good friends for donkey's ages. And I was phoned him up just to tell him how God had blessed me by reading the scriptures over at that time 5 times. And he was over at our church in Hillsborough, and he was preaching. And I don't know whether he was directing at me or not. You know the way some people feel, oh, he must be speaking to me. And he says, it doesn't matter how many times you read the scriptures, he says, it's what you take out of it. Wasn't that great advice? Wasn't that great? It's what you take out of it. So, my friends, God's Word, thank God, has a cleansing effect. And those words of wisdom from our brother bless my heart and my soul. And so, may God help us never to boast about anything, really. Because the Scripture says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. May we give God the glory, for he alone is worthy. Anyway, dear friends, praise the Lord. And of course, I was taught the shorter catechism as well. And you wonder sometimes, as a little one, why you're rhyming over a whole lot of scripture. And sometimes you're maybe a bit like a son of mine whenever his mother was trying to teach him to read the scriptures and do the catechism and all. He'd been standing there and he'd be throwing a cushion up and down, and I'd be sitting up and nearly going bonkers because I thought he's not listening, not paying any attention to his ma. However, he was the very boy that was taking it all in. But I want you to pray for him. Now, I'm not sure whether he ever got saved as a wee boy. He professed to be. But if he didn't get saved, I want you to pray that God will save him. And if he did get saved as a wee fellow, I want you to pray that God will restore him and get him back on track again. Because there's no point in a human being living their life outside of the will of God. Anyway, dear friends, I was sent along as a young fellow of 11 and a half years to boarding school. Matt, you can keep me right if I miss someone out here, bro. Praise the Lord. God bless dear Matt and Karen. So they're such wonderful friends. Of course, I'm friendly. I'm friendly with everybody, anyway. Even the minister, too. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know, friends, I was sent along to boarding school, the Masonic school in Dublin. And to me, to be truthful with you, it was like a borstal. I never liked it from the time I put my foot in through the door till I come out of it. And unfortunately, one of the masters in the school thought I was being stubborn, that I wouldn't learn. And of course, in that school, I went out from a simple schooling, and we had to learn Irish, and we had to learn Latin, and we had to learn French. And geometry, and I hadn't a clue I could not understand geometry. It was like a foreign language. And the thing about it was there was no interpreter. That was far worse. The very teacher couldn't teach me. I thought he was such a stupid man, he couldn't. And I said to him, "Sir, I don't understand." So he was a bad-tempered boy. And he thought I was being stubborn, but I wasn't. I couldn't understand. So it's very important for teachers to understand their pupils. And don't lose the head if you think they don't understand, because some don't. I was slow to learn. Once I got it, I had it. Sent me to the headmaster. He was dressed in my pajamas, and he told me, "Take your treasures down, Houston." And he wheeled my bare bottom 12 times with a big thick cane. And for 2 weeks, friends, I could only sit on the edge of a chair. Talk about cruelty. Oh, it was cruelty, there's no doubt about it. But you know, friends, I thought to myself, I'm going to get my own back on him. Why? I was a very kind wee fella, you know, growing up. We considered sort of a wee critter, you know. Oh, that's the truth. As I was saying, Albert Ronald said, when they asked me to give my testimony, I was giving them the very sweet out of my mouth to my brother. And I said to them, I wouldn't recommend that. Oh, no, don't do that. But you know, dear friends, I vowed this. They had a listen, this is not to be rude to anybody, because I'm beginning to be a bit lispy without my teeth. And he had a wee bit of a lisp anyway, and he used to talk about his squitter. And away early in the morning, I was leaving the school, and my other brother was there. And I went in, I got him up out of the bed. He says, "What do you want? Where are you going? What do you want to do?" He says, "Come on." And I says, "I'll show you." So I took him anyway, and I got your man's squitter. And whenever I got his squitter, my brother Albert, and it was bucketing out of the heavens. And he says, "Sam, what are you going to do?" He says, "Hey, give me a bit of a push." I says, "You'll soon see what I'm going to do." And he pushed me away down this wee narrow pathway, and the wall, if I had my hands near it, would have got the skin pulled off it. Anyway, we got this machine. It didn't go, it just sort of freewheeled. There was a wee bit of a hill, you see. And away down in the hollow, you can imagine that was a field. And the field was sloped like this, away down in the hollow. And it was bucket, and there was a great big puddle of water. And Albert looks at me and he says, "What are you going to do?" I got out of the machine and I just threw it right in. And I can tell you, I got some joy when I heard the and the bubbles were blowing. Now, I'm not recommending to be violent. But you can understand, here's a wee fella who had been badly hurt, and I had said, whenever after I got chained, there'd been nobody will ever hurt me again. And I did get stubborn in that regard. and I got a bit sick about it. And sadly, for years, when I left that boarding school, I went into, I served my time to the drapery trade. And then later on, when they were working, when I was working for somebody else, there wasn't much money in it, so I thought I'll just take up an ordinary trade, and I qualified as a fitter welder. And you know, friends, it was there that I got injured, my left leg and ankle broken, and now I can tell you after all these years I'm suffering with it now. But however, the Lord's going to heal that completely at the end of life's journey. Hallelujah. But no sickness or sadness or sorrow, no more death, no more tears, no more separation when we get to heaven. All will be well there. We're going to get a new body. That's great. Praise the Lord. Anyway, there was this man by the name of John Thompson, and he was a brethren evangelist. And he came along to the wee apartment we were living in Ballymena. Oh, I meant to tell you, by the way, I missed this bit out. I was singing in singing round pubs. I got mixed up with a group that were singing around the pubs. And I was managing the tailor's shop in Coleraine. And this fellow came in. He says, "We're looking for a singer urgently. And do you know anybody?" And he said, "Oh, this man here can sing." So I paired up with their group. And we sang all over pubs and clubs and acting the old clown. And you know, dear friends, it was a silly way to live, really. But then I wasn't saved, you see. I didn't really know nothing about salvation, even though I was taught the scriptures from my childhood. I didn't understand about being saved. But is it any wonder people don't understand about God's salvation? Because before I got saved, I was dead. I was dead. Spiritually, I was dead, and so I needed the Holy Spirit of God to come into my life and enlighten me in regards to salvation. And so this man, John Thompson, the Brown Evangelist, came, and he reached me some tracts, and one of them said, "Where will you spend eternity?" But you know, you can't spend eternity. It's more proper to say, "Where will you be in eternity?" You can't spend. If you spend something, you don't have it. So, anyway, he reached me the gospel tracts. I opened the door a wee piece, and he was beautifully dressed. Oh, he was like a model, you know. He was like a model. That's what somebody called a model. He was like a model. And he says, "We're running a mission down in the Harryville Gospel Hall. You'll come along now, won't you?" I said, I had no notion of going at all. I just wanted the man to pass on and just leave me alone, as it were. Anyway, I took the tracts and set them on the mantelpiece. And that night, Betty, she said to me, she says, "I'm going to bed a wee bit earlier tonight." And she lifted the gospel tracts. Now, she was blessed because she was brought up to know what was meant by being saved. And she understood. And that night, thank God, on the 14th of February 1970, that was my birthday. But of course, my dad, he was celebrating when I was born the birth of another son. He put it in as the 16th of February. So that's my official birth date. But Betty got saved on my real birthday. And the next day she got up, she said, "Sam," she said, "if you drop dead the way you're living, you'll go to hell." I said, "If you don't shut your mouth, woman, I'll fire you out over the veranda." An awful carry, a terrible way to talk to anybody. And you know what I'm going to tell you? I love my wife so dearly. I was a faithful husband to her all the 52 years. And you know, dear friends, it's very important. If you've never told your wife you love her, you better start. I'm not saying you haven't. And vice versa for the wife. You make sure that you share your husband or your wife with great blessings of comfort to them. Because it's good and nice when somebody says, "I love you." Oh, but my friends, look how much Jesus loved us. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong." Oh, what a wonderful Savior. And so anyway, thank God, Betty, I'm cutting out a wee bit here of the, because I don't want to keep yous late. And, it is late already, bro. That's desperate. I didn't really. You hardly know time flying, wouldn't you? Sure you wouldn't. But anyway, praise the Lord. Betty, thank God. The 29 days later, it was the 23rd of February 1970, God broke me down. And that night, friends, I thank God for the leading and power of the Holy Spirit of God. And what a wonderful night that was for me. I was crying and crying. I was really throbbing bitterly because I knew I was a sinner. And thank God for the faithfulness of my wife and John for pointing me to the Lord. It was actually Betty that night I got saved. She came over and Betty knew that I was changed. It was the act of a moment. It was the act of a moment. I felt as if it was like Saul going along the Damascus road and a great light shone upon him and he was struck. And that's the way it was for me. God spoke to me in the most wonderful way and saved me. And friend, some people, in fact, I was at a senior citizens meeting one evening and it was actually at home. And I was at home, that's what it was. I was preaching a wee word. And this woman, she looks up and she says, "Shut up!" Well, I want to tell you, friends, I'm not going to shut up. And I trust in the Lord, I'll never shut up till God takes me out of this earth. Because we, my friends, you and I, we've a great message to tell this whole world. And the devil will say, "Oh, there's not too many in our pews, you know. There's empty seats there." Let me tell you, friends, we can pray to God, and God will fill every seat in the place. It packed all our churches with people crying unto God for mercy. Because, friends, we've got the power. What is the power of God? It's the power of prayer. We need to fill the prayer meeting to capacity, praying and pleading with God to bring down the blessing and speak to people all around this whole country. How many people in this whole... is it a city yet? I mean, it's big enough for it. I can tell you, a mass of people that know nothing about the Lord. Oh, friends, God is able. Hallelujah for that. Anyway, I had the privilege of going to the Whitfield College of the Bible, and you may be thinking, I'd say it anyway. I probably have a whole lot of corners still to be straightened out. But I thank God they did straighten out a whole lot for me when I was there. And I learned a lot when I was there, and I thank God for the training. Now, I received a call to go to Canada to be the minister of visitation for our Toronto Free Presbyterian Church. And I had the privilege, thank God, when I was over there, I had the privilege of speaking to Brian Mulroney, the premier there, about his soul. And I had the joy, thank God, of pointing some others over there to the Lord during my time there. Then the next thing, friends, I got a heart problem, and it's different than the heart problem that I had before I got saved. They put in a couple of stents over there, and do you know what I'm going to tell you? I got awful worried about my health after that, and got a bit depressed about it, and my doctor says, "Sam, you don't have to have an operation." And the whole, it was like the joy of the Lord was restored to my soul, and it started to bubble over with joy again. And it's 26 years and more. And I haven't had to have an operation. Although I don't miss my tablets, maybe. But then that's the doctor's way, you see. Some people say they don't need a doctor. That's a lot of nonsense. I thank God for the doctors. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But anyway, there's a whole lot more I could tell you. I had the privilege. You see, since this, and I'm not promoting self when I say this, God has blessed me to be able to sing a little yet. And do you know, friends, I have said, and some of my close friends here will tell you, it's not about Sam Houston, friends. These recordings, they're about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. May my name pale away into insignificance. But the name of the Lord Jesus, may it be greatly and highly exalted. The recording has gone worldwide to some of our missionaries that have come back from Libya and and Kenya and Singapore. It's gone all over the place. But the main thing about it is, it's about the Lord I'm singing about. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. And that's what it's all about, friends. That's what this church was built for, to preach the gospel. And I've been able to talk to Catholics and atheists. One night, when you hear this, and brother, here's a good one for you. I was wanting to find out about a certain person, whether they were living or dead. And I knocked the door. No reply. Knocked another door. No reply. Knocked another door. No reply. Knocked the next door. There was a light on. And this big man came to the door, and he had a beard on him like Moses. And we started to converse. And they invited me in. The wife came very quickly to the door when she knew that I was looking for someone near hand. She says, I'm sorry that she's passed on. She'd gone to heaven. I knew that she was saved. And they invited me into the house, and we had a great chat. And then I went back there a few weeks back or whatever, and went to the door, and he says, I'm watching the rugby. And she shouts out, bring him in. Hallelujah. And I had the privilege of speaking to him for an hour and 20 minutes about God's salvation. So friends, I want you to pray that as we go around this country serving the Lord, that God will use whatever talents we have, that we will reach people with the gospel, because that's my ministry. I am interested in seeing people get saved. It doesn't matter to me whether they hang their coat in this place or that place, or they don't hang it anywhere. Oh, my friends, we need to reach out, and may God bless us all and give us that earnestness for souls. Thank you, brother, for inviting me tonight. And I apologize to you. I know I've gone over the time, and I apologize to you, dear friends, too. And do you know what I'd love to do, bro? I know it's customary. I was up in Randallstown saying this to Reverend Goods. It's customary for the minister to go to the door. Now, we're not shaking hands now. But I would love to just say goodnight to you personally. Would that be all right? Oh, amen. I got the sanction. The sanction.
We're going to sing just in closing, please, a verse or two of hymn number 221. 221. Thank our brother tonight for coming and singing and sharing a personal word of testimony. And praise God, our brother is rejoicing in the Lord after being saved for so many years and witnessing for him. And friend, tonight, if you're not saved, what the Lord did for our brother many years ago when he trusted the Lord to save you, the Lord can do for you tonight. If you'll come and put your faith and trust in him. The Lord gives you a wonderful promise, wonderful encouragement. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Our brother will be out the door after the meeting. If you'd like to speak with our brother, he'll be glad to take time with you around the word of God and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. We're going to sing this great old hymn, 221. It says, come every soul, by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Excuse me, we'll sing verse 1 and verse 3 of the hymn. Verses 1 and 3 along with the chorus, standing as we sing. thank Thee for Thy presence tonight, for the ministry and song, the words of testimony. We thank Thee for saving our brother. Bless those words of testimony to every heart and soul in the meeting tonight, to the encouragement of Your people to press on with God and to serve Thee. For the night cometh when no man can work. And Lord, for any in the gathering tonight who know not the Lord, speak to them. May they realize tonight that they must be saved, they must be born again. They are to enter into God's heaven. Lord, bless us now. Take us to our homes in safety. Journey with us, we pray. Keep Your hand upon us and the week that lies before us for good. For we pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. And amen.